Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the BLS International Services Limited's Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone telephone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shikhar Agarwal, Joint Managing Director, BLS International Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all to our earnings conference call for Q2 FY23 and H1 FY23 business and financial performance. I have with me on the call today, Mr. Nikhil Gupta, Managing Director, and Mr. Amit Sudhakar, Chief Financial Officer of the company. Our performance for the second quarter has been in line with expectations, continuing with our growth trajectory. We are all above pre-COVID level, despite certain geographies not having fully opened up. As travel and tourism continue to recover rapidly across various regions, we are witnessing strong month-on-month growth in our business in visa and consular services. Business in certain countries have not recovered fully, yet business from rest of the regions have surpassed the combined business for pre-COVID levels. So when the travel resumes and grows in these two countries, this should boost our revenue significantly. In our visa and consular service business, the growth is coming from multiple fronts: new clients, new geographies, and enhanced services to existing clients. For instance, over the past 2 months, we have won contracts to process visas from the Royal Thai Embassy in Kenya, from the Royal Thai Consulate in Mumbai, New Delhi, Kolkata and Chennai, and to process German visas in North America and Mexico. We are also focusing on a lot of value-added services, which will help us utilize our existing network infrastructure, thus enhancing efficiency and margins. The past 2 months have been very eventful for our business correspondent as well as the e-governance line of business. In line with our strategy to expand inorganically, in June 2022, we acquired a 88.71% stake in Zero Mars Private Limited, a business correspondent for SBI in India. This acquisition has further strengthened our BC business. This move makes us the biggest banking correspondent for State Bank of India across India. On the other front, our citizen service business continues to grow with several new contracts during the first half of the financial year. Some of these include an agreement with the Karnataka's Government Department of Administrative Reforms and an agreement with Directorate of Registration and Stamp Revenue, Government of West Bengal. Based on the progress in our BC and e-governance business and in the light of recent ZMPL acquisition, which has made the BC business a substantial in terms of size and opportunity, we have decided to merge the e-governance and BC business into one segment, namely digital services. Digital services will consolidate all our services under the BC and e-governance business and will include a range of value-added services without requiring much additional cost. We foresee a tremendous opportunity for growth in this segment and will have a clear focus with a dedicated team in the future, independent of our visa and consular business for this segment as well. In light of this, we have transferred our entire equity stake in BLS Kendra Private Limited, our wholly owned subsidiary, into BLS E-Services Private Limited, another wholly owned subsidiary, thus making BLS Kendra Private Limited a step-down subsidiary of BLS International Limited. There would be no change in control of either of these companies, but it will facilitate future growth plan for our digital services business. We aim to develop and grow both our segments into a sizable level of business for which we shall be aggressively bidding for new contracts. We are also looking for inorganic growth opportunities on this front to complement our organic growth efforts. I would like to conclude by saying that all our businesses are doing well. We firmly believe that digitization is the key in the post-COVID world, and we will always strive to use cutting-edge technology for our services. This is all from my side. I now hand over the call to Mr. Amit Sudhakar, our CFO, for updates on financial performance. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let me brief you on the financial performance for the second quarter ended 30th September 2022. During the quarter, we reported a revenue of 357.04 crore, an increase of 87.46% YOY basis and 30.87% QOQ, mainly driven by continuous recovery in visa and consular business as well as citizen service business. Revenue was also supported by a contribution of about 40 crores from ZMPL during this quarter. We are seeing a good momentum in all our businesses and are optimistic of sustained growth in the coming quarters. Zeromask Private Limited is one of the largest business correspondents of SBI India. It comprises more than 15% of all the SBI business correspondents. The move gives us BC business a pan-India presence across all states and union territory and bring out a total number of customer service points of more than 15,000 CSPs. Post this, our BC and e-governance businesses together are sizable enough to be pursued with deeper focus. It is with this perspective that we have merged these two lines of businesses under digital services. The EBITDA for the quarter stood at 56.78 crore compared to 27.57 crore in corresponding quarter last year and rupees 31.36 crore in Q1 FY23. The EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 15.9%, which is more than 140 basis points higher compared to the corresponding quarter last year. The cost of optimization and higher volumes helped offset the impact of higher employee expenses, benefiting the EBITDA margin for the quarter. The profit before tax stood at 56.22 crore in Q2 FY23 as compared to rupees 28.45 crore in the previous corresponding quarter and rupees 32.41 crore in Q1 FY23. PBT margin in Q1 FY23 stood at 15.75% compared to 14.94% in Q2 FY22. Going forward, as mentioned earlier, we are investing in expanding both our business segments, visa as well as digital services. The recent ZMPL acquisition has been EBITDA and EPS accretive from the day one and is expected to further improve our overall ROC. Coming to half-yearly results, in 6 months ending September 2022, our revenue grew 70.7% year-on-year to 629.86 crore. The EBITDA stood at 88.14 crore, growing at 90% YOY, while EBITDA margins improved by 143 basis points to 13.99%. The PBT for this period was 88.63 crore YOY compared to YOY increase of 80%. The PAT for the period was 81.69 crore versus 47.71 crore in the corresponding period last year, a rise of 71.21%. This is all from our side. We can now open the call for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If your questions have been answered and you wish to withdraw yourself from the queue, you may enter star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the first question from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much to give me this opportunity. Really, Agrawal family, it is extreme pleasure result you have given to us. I am shareholder since long, but now I am looking after a very good base here and then move from here. So my point, as we enter in digital business big way, how much are we going to invest in software and hardware? And second, what target you want to give for financial year 23 and 24 in revenue terms or in profit margin?
Thank you, Ravi.
See, as you know that, you know, our 90% of our revenue used to come from visa and counselor business.
Right.
Post acquisition of this company, now 18% of the revenue is coming from the digital service business, which includes banking, correspondent and e-governance business. And the model, as you know, is the same, wherein we collect upfront money from the citizens. It's kind of an annuity business. So, you know, we are right now generating cash from that business itself, you know, to invest in that business. So right now there is no investment required from BLS side for, you know, expanding that business. So we are expanding through the revenue that is being generated from that business. But we see good opportunity for growth in that business because volumes that we are getting in that business is very good. And going forward, we expect the margins and profitability of this business definitely to grow up because of the value-added services and other services that we will offer from those services. Having said that, about your next part of the question regarding the next 2-3 years guidance of the company, as I said, you know, that the company right now, the result that we have got is because of the application count that we have got globally, barring certain geographies like Russia and China, which are still semi-closed. So when those geographies start becoming normalized, numbers start coming in, then definitely there will be a further growth on the numbers, and that will lead to a growth in revenue and profitability of the company. On top of that, the additional growth, inorganic growth opportunities in terms of the new tenders that we are bidding, we are winning. You know, we recently won contracts for the German government, Philippine government, Thailand government. There are more tenders expected by new foreign governments. So that will definitely add to the revenue and bottom line. So I would say we are also maturing as a company in terms of, you know, in terms of our operations. So now I think we will, economies of scale will definitely kick in as we get more new contracts, and there will be a further growth.
Right. Definitely, sir. And future, visa and consular will be major revenue earned versus digital. Is it okay? Or visa and digital business will be more in compared to gradually. Now it is 18, it will be maybe 25, or visa will be major amount.
Always, you know, because we see major growth in visa counselor business in the coming years, you know, the percentage will definitely, I think, will maintain the same percentage because there will be growth in both lines of business. Definitely, always, we will, more major focus is on the visa counselor service where there will be major growth.
Okay. Thank you very much and wishing you all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Nikhil Kapoor from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Congratulations on a fantastic set of numbers. Just a couple of questions from my end. One, over the next 2 to 3 years, any ballpark figure on how many contracts in visa and consulate business are up for tendering? That's question number one. Question number two, for our digital business, what kind of margin outlook are we looking at on that front? And lastly, when we are looking at inorganic growth, are we looking at international expansion as well in the digital business in terms of the inorganic opportunities, or are we looking at domestic ones? So those are the questions.
Yeah, definitely, Nikhil. Thank you for that question. So as I've explained before, you know, because of COVID, the tender cycle in a lot of visa service contracts had become, you know, they had given extensions. But now all of these contracts have come up for renewal, and we have been working on them for the last 3-4 years. So, you know, the opportunity size is quite big if you talk about only visa counselor services, which is $1.5 to $2 billion worth of contracts. But if you add on top of that, even certain new counselor services contracts, like we won for the Philippine government, you know, wherein we are doing passport renewal for certain, for Philippine government in 3 countries and planning to expand that. There are a lot of new governments which have never outsourced. So that was never in the horizon. So even, you know, that is some new opportunity, you know, that, you know, will add also a bottom line, top line for us in terms of growth opportunity in visa and counselor services. If you talk about the margins in our digital service business, margins are in line of 12.5 to 15%. Because this is relatively new business, and we think that the margins will definitely increase going forward because, you know, if, like in the visa business, if we can increase revenue per application in this business also, you know, that is the main aim for us. So definitely margins will increase in this line of business. I forgot your third question, Nikhil. You had a third question.
So the inorganic opportunities are that we are looking at for digital businesses, I mean, this is domestic or international as well?
See, our main aim as a company was always to expand globally. We also started, if you see, the visa business with a Portuguese embassy contract in New Delhi. And we started with the Indian government globally, and eventually we started working for foreign governments. So definitely, you know, where the you get payment in dollars and euros, which is abroad, we will definitely look at global opportunities.
Right.
Yeah, we are very open, you know, to global opportunities wherein the our terms and condition, wherein upfront payment, you know, there is negligible investment, and you know, there is negative working capital. So if those things are taken care of, then definitely we look at expanding globally.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you so much for the answers and all the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nitin Padmanabhan. I'm sorry, Nitin Padmanabhan from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, Shikhar, Amit. Congrats on a strong quarter. So my questions are more related to the kind of opportunities that are out there. If we just throw some color on a few of them. So I think one is the UK VI. I think October was supposed to be the time when they sort of announced the final list of bidders. The second was on the US side of things, where I think PAE has already sort of tied up, chosen its subcontractor, GDIT. Any incremental move there with GDIT? And finally, anything in KSA or any other geography that's sort of standing out? And finally, the Germany contract that you have picked up, what are the kind of volumes one should sort of anticipate there per annum? Yeah, those are the questions.
Yeah, so Nitin, thank you for that question. So I think what I can comment on is that all these tenders, we are in different stages of qualification. These are not simple tenders. They take years, you know, you need to get pre-qualified and then qualified, and then there's a negotiation round. So we are, I would say, in different successive stages, and I would not like to comment on particular opportunities, but none of the results have started to come in yet. As and when they are announced, we'll definitely be coming out with the news to the market. So that is the opportunity right now. And in addition to that, there are a lot of Schengen contracts also by different European governments that are expected to come out. So we are preparing for that. In regards to German contract, since it is the first time outsourcing by the German embassy in US and Mexico, for Germany in USA, we are going to open more than 10 offices, and in Mexico, we are going to open 2 offices, out of which we have already opened a couple of offices, in which you know, we have started with very limited numbers because embassy wants to first make sure you know, how a normal system happens, the operations, everything is airtight, and once they get a comfort, then eventually, gradually, the counts increase. Having said that, the service charges that we have got are very high, more than 30-32 euros in both the geographies, and even the charges for value-added services are quite high. So we are expecting good margins from these German contracts. Numbers, since it is the first time outsourcing, you know, as in when there is probably a 6 months, you know, operation, then we can have a better hang on the application count.
Sure, fine. That's quite helpful. So basically, you should have a better handle on absolute volumes from these only later. Fine, fair enough. One last thing on the visa volumes that we see today. On an absolute basis, excluding China and Russia, what you mean to say is the absolute visa volumes are higher than pre-COVID, or the revenues are higher than pre-COVID? How should we think about it?
See, if absolute numbers definitely cannot be higher, you know, because the geographies of Russia and China still have not started. So absolute numbers are definitely what we did in 2019 on a total level is not higher. But if you remove the count from Russia and China, and if you do a apple-to-apple basis, definitely counts would be in the same ballpark what we did in pre-COVID level. Definitely revenue per application is higher than what we did in 2019.
So if I understood it right, the number of applications excluding China and Russia are higher, and or is it the revenue per application is actually higher, although the...
I would say the revenue per application is definitely higher. Application count would be marginally higher because we are, definitely marginally higher.
Fair enough. Thank you so much. That's all from my end.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Rajiv Venkatesh, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Nikhil. Hi, Shikhar. And hi, Amit. Is my voice audible?
Yeah, we can hear you well.
Yeah, thanks. First of all, congrats on the great set of number. And second of all, I have to congratulate you for the exchange filings which have improved. One we are giving with the detailed investor presentation and another one is a consolidated one. So I think that looks good. In the investor presentation and in your inaugural call, you said that you'll be merging the BC and the e-government services. Are we bringing any new CEO for this particular vertical?
So, Rajiv, this is the segment that we have worked out for creating our internal focus in these businesses. So, at the moment, we have not got any a separate CEO for all these businesses, but individually we have CEOs for these businesses separately.
But I think, Rajiv, what we are doing is that, individually, Zeromas already had a CEO, and the e-governance business had a CEO. But going forward, definitely, so
we are going
to have a dedicated focus, to have competent people, we will have different individuals heading that business.
Great. And my second question is on the e-government services with the Karnataka government and with the West Bengal government. So one is with the Department of Administrative Reforms, and other one is with the Revenue and Services. So what type of is it similar on the lines with UP and Punjab we did few years back, the Punjab one?
So see, definitely the services are quite similar. In West Bengal, we are doing registration, land registration agreements and certificates. Services are different. In Karnataka, I would say services are quite similar as Punjab, wherein this include birth certificate to death certificate. So services are kind of similar what we are doing in Punjab.
And the margins and the top line will be similar to the Punjab ones?
Correct. The top line in all our lines of business e-governance is similar.
Okay. Congrats. And do we have any new states in the pipeline for these type of services? I think this quarter we didn't report any new pipelines for new states.
I think there are many states that are working in different models, but as we took time to even get into these states after Punjab, if you see, because we are being very careful, we are looking at different states. We are only looking at states which suit our model. Wherein our model, if the state is implementing, then we're looking at it, and we are looking at 2-3 states, talking to them, and looking at this model.
Okay, great. So, and our other question is like with regard to the contracts that are to be renewed. So, did we get any renewals from European countries, especially Spain? I think in the last few calls we were talking to about the renewals for Spain, which is coming up this year.
Right now, all the current contracts are ongoing, and as and when there is any decision on extension or renewal, we'll definitely announce.
Great. And one more question on the gross margins. We are at 33% gross margins, and our EBITDA is also like pre-COVID levels. And in the last quarter, we had a significant, the human resource count was added. The margins were a bit affected because of that. Are we optimally utilized on the human resource for this quarter, or do we see any levers which can play out over a period of time to improve the gross margins and EBITDA margins?
So, Rajiv, this quarter has been normal, and we have optimized our expenses as per the volumes of business which we are doing currently. So, once we get any new
say geography or something, then obviously with the new contract, we may add more people. But the current volumes of business, we are optimized as far as expenses are concerned.
Okay, great. And on the books, we have a sufficient amount of 500 odd crores. I think I'm considering even the H2 cash flow generation, we'll be having around close to 500 odd crores. So I think this has been a pressing question from a couple of years, in fact, from more than one and a half years. What is the acquisitions we are in pipeline, considering that we have already completed the zero mass one?
So, if you see the 30th September, we have cash equivalent of around 385 crores in a balance sheet, which was as on 31st March is what about 410. So we utilized in the 6 months about 130 crores for the acquisition, and a couple of acquisitions we are working seriously on, and as and when they get crystallized, we will be announcing it then. But we are working on those.
These are more on the visa and consular services related acquisitions or on the e-governance part?
Actually, both. We have one or two which we are working on the e-governance and on the digital service area, and one or two in the visa side also.
Great. Thanks for your answers. And on the slide 14, on the UAE, we have provided customized solutions. Is it a new set of solutions what we are providing or the existing ones? I just wanted to check if that will be coming into the part of the top line.
Just 1 second. Go ahead. I don't understand. What are you?
Hello?
On 14?
Page number 14?
Are we connected?
Yeah, we are connected. Rajiv, which slide you are talking about? Hello?
Moderator, can you hear me?
Sir, just give me a moment. Let me just check his line. One moment, sir.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear?
Hello, Rajiv.
So just give me a moment. I'll just check Rajiv's line. Give me a moment, please. It seems like his lines got disconnected. Should we move to the next question?
Yes, please.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Shikha Kapoor from Quant Investec. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, gentlemen, for the great set of numbers. One thing, Mr. Shikhar, you had mentioned a while back that largely growth was on account of revenue per count and less on the volume. Can you quantify that figure, please?
No, I mean that there is a definitely, as I've said, that pre-COVID level, we have grown per application count by from 1x to 1.4x. So we are getting, I would say, 20-30% more revenue per application now. There has been, I mean, the growth in application count from the countries where we are currently operating. So there has been a marginal growth of 5-10%, but geographies of, as I said, certain geographies still have not opened up, so there is no revenue from those geographies.
So what would be the breakup of that 70% increase in the value terms?
So it is in terms of value-added services.
Okay. Secondly, my question is on profitability of ZMPL. I guess for half year or maybe 4-5 months, it added about 50 crores to your top line. So what about the profitability? How much is it contributing in terms of profit margin?
So, Shikha, this quarter we have added revenue of around 40.5 crores on the top line, and the bottom line is 5.5 crore. Has come from the zero mass operation.
Okay. So, thirdly, you had mentioned about Royal Thai Consulate business. So what is the scope of work for you here, and what's the size of our business? Is it sizable?
Yes. So, Shikha, basically, this is outsourcing of the Thai visas within India. So we won the contract from the Royal Thai Embassy in Delhi, Calcutta, Chennai and Mumbai because they take out different tenders. We won through all four and we also won a contract by the Royal Thai Embassy, Kenya. So these are all visa people who want to go to Thailand and they want to apply for a physical visa. So they are applying through us. So since we have just started, we are getting around 3,000-4,000 applications per month. So which is expected to further grow as things become normalized. But it is a good profitable contract for us. And in our existing centers, you know, we are accepting applications. So we do not have to set up any new infrastructure for them.
Okay, so this is over and above visa on arrivals in Thailand. I mean, this, these are the services which will be provided to Indian citizens.
Correct.
Okay, okay. Lastly, one more question. In your presentation, it was mentioned about your subsidiary or step subsidiary. In addition to ZMPL, there was some Kenya and Italy also. So I'm assuming these two geographies, you may have some application processing work. So what's the size of the business over there?
Italy, we are working for the Philippine government currently. Kenya, we work for 3-4 governments, for Qatar, Spain, I think Thailand. So we work for 3-4 governments. So size of the business, I think we need to check what is the revenue size from those countries. But I don't think it will be very big.
Okay. Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Aniket Predkar, from an investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations on the good set of numbers. So, sir, I have a couple of questions. Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, sir, as far as our BC business is concerned, so are we focusing mainly on the SBI only?
I think we are not only focusing on SBI, although we are the largest BC of SBI right now in India, but we are working with many other banks like Karur Vyasa Bank, with Central Bank of India, Bank of Baroda. So we are Punjab National Bank. So we are working with many other banks, but the biggest bank definitely is SBI. But slowly we are planning to grow in the other banks also.
Okay, okay. And sir, what would be our strategy in terms of identifying the government, those who are not currently outsourcing the visa and the consular services?
Strategy is very simple. First, we see where the counts are big. And second, we see where the government is facing a problem, in processing applications themselves. So I think that is where how we are focusing.
Okay, okay. And sir, as far as our value-added services is concerned, how much does the company earn in terms of the revenue and the profit margin?
So I think on a total level, our profit margin is 15% EBITDA. So I think that includes the total the revenue of the company and the profitability, right, Amit?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, okay. Okay, and sir, who will be our main competitors, basically, and what are the entry barriers for our business, basically?
If you see competitors globally, there are different competitors. So we have TLS Contact and BFS Global, which are the competitors in this business. And the entry barriers, it is different entry barriers in different contracts. It took us 15 years to get here, as you have explained before. So there are different restrictive clauses. You know, you need to process these many applications in different geographies. So definitely you have to pre-qualify for bidding for these contracts.
Okay. And any CapEx plan in near future?
No.
Okay. And are we looking for any M&A opportunities in future? And if yes, then in which line of business?
Ankit, as I said earlier, we are seriously looking at acquisition because we need to grow inorganically in the next couple of years. And with the cash and strong balance sheet, we are geared up to look at good opportunities available in India as well as outside India.
Okay. And sir, one last question. What is our top line contribution from the RMBA?
Yeah, I just said it's about, in this quarter, it was 40 crores.
Okay. Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. This is from my
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Neha Jain, an investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I have a couple of questions. So we see that there's bonus shares issued during this quarter, and the last one was issued during the March quarter. There's a very short gap between both the, you know, bonus share issue. So, could you help me understand why the company has decided to do this?
Basically, what has happened is that, as you know, we are generating good amount of cash on the books that we are utilizing for acquisitions and, you know, spending on new contract wins. You know, we'll have to spend the money on in terms of setting up offices. And, you know, we are also distributing dividends to our shareholders. So we were discussing ways how we can reward our shareholders. So that was one of the things that came up, was that, you know, maybe bonus is a good option. That was the only reason that we have declared the bonus.
Okay. And also, what is the status on the UK visa renewal?
This is it's a first-time contract for us. And we are, as I said, we are in different stages of contract. And as and when the results are announced, we'll definitely be announcing to the market.
Okay. And in terms of RFCE, what are our estimates for the next couple of years in terms of growth?
So, we have seen the trend has been up. We from around 17%, we are now reached around 27% ROC this quarter. And the intent is to take it further up over the next couple of years. So, ideally, if we can reach around 30%, that would be our target too.
By when do we plan to reach the target?
I couldn't hear you.
By when do we plan to reach that target?
So we are working on that. The target is to reach somewhere around 30%.
Okay, but you don't have a time frame yet.
We are working on it. So okay. Let's see in the next 6 months or so or a year, it will take us to reach that.
Okay. And also for the value-added services of the business, how much is the company able to generate in terms of revenue and profit margin?
See, we are not calculating them separately. They are terms of total revenue of the company. So as you see revenue growing, they are part of the revenue of the company. And then total we are generating around 15% EBITDA margin. So I think that is where the figure is.
Okay. And so for our banking correspondence, business, are we only focusing on SBI?
I just explained, I think we are working with different banks. We are 5-7 national banks, including Punjab National Bank, Baroda, Central Bank of India. So we are focusing on different banks.
So which will be the major contributor from all these banks?
SBI is the major contributor. At the moment.
So is it possible, in terms of percentage, how much does SBI contribute?
So as we said, in total, right now, SBI is the major contributor in terms of bank correspondent business, and the other banks have just started. So we have just recently won tender in the last 1 year from other banks. So, you know, we are getting some major contributor to SBI.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you so much and good luck for this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Rajiv Venkatesh, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Shikhar. Thanks for giving the opportunity again. So I just wanted to check on the slide 14. We are providing the customized solutions. Is it a new set of solutions or the existing one for the UAE?
Rajesh, which are you talking about, the latest investor presentation?
Yes, Shikhar. Yes, the latest one.
Okay, but one second. I will just go through it.
Yeah.
14, Rajiv, I don't see that we have written anything about UAE. You cannot find. I don't know
digital
what.
Digital service.
I think,
it is under the digital services.
Sorry?
I think it is under digital services, e-governance services, the global one.
Okay. I think, Rajiv, it will be better if you can email me the query, because I'm sorry, but I'm not able to understand the exact query.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. As there are no further questions from participants, I would like to hand the floor back to Mr. Shikhar Agarwal for closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for your participation in our Q2 FY23 earnings call. In case of any further queries, you may please get in touch with Affective PR or feel free to get in touch with us. We look forward to interacting with you next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of PLS International Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.